Welcome to The Art of Semi-Fiction. I'm Jane Daly.
And I'm Robin Miller.
And today we're going to talk about brainstorming. Have you ever gotten to the end of a project?
And no, never. I've finished nothing.
There was more.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you ever gotten to an end of a project and been at a loss for what to write next? Now, this has not necessarily happened to me, but I have talked to other authors who've said that once they have poured themselves out and just taken every brain cell and every bit of creativity to finish this project, they don't know what to write next.
I think I'm a hybrid of, this is so complicated, yes and no. When it's something like that, like when I finished my memoir, mm-hmm. I needed to just lay down for a couple months. I mean, it was so, it took so much out of me. But the most of the time I write multiple projects and multiple genres at a time because I don't like to not have something mm-hmm. to write. So if it's a significant emotional project, yes. Yes, where I just need to breathe and my brain can't think of anything else.
Before we delve into the actual brainstorming, let's talk about that for a minute. What you said is really helpful, is that if you have just, say, completed a 90 to 100,000 word novel, which is going to be like, say, 365 pages, you're probably not only sick of your characters, you're sick yeah. of the story, and you yeah. just kind of need a break. That's a really good time to try your hand at writing something different, either flash yeah. fiction or an article, even a devotional, yeah. just something totally different that uses a different section of your brain
yeah.
That so that you can let that side that that you've just used just kind of rest and be refreshed. And the same thing goes if you're writing a fiction and, you know, you've used up a lot of your energy just doing research and you've done yeah. Interviews with people and, you know, you've finished this project. Maybe it is time to lay your weary head down and let some of your dreams turn into an idea for a story or a novel.
Nice little segue there.
Thank you very much. I well practiced done, that yeah. for at least 5 seconds.
5, 10.
So I have extremely vivid dreams. And I don't know yeah. if you're like I am, but some people don't dream at all. But I have very
or
vivid
remember
dreams.
Them, yeah.
Right. My husband says that he doesn't dream, but I know he does because I can hear him kind of mumbling in his sleep. So mm-hmm. I know he dreams. And once in a while, he'll share with me some wacky thing that he dreamed. But I had a dream recently where I was stuck in Thailand. Go figure. Okay. That so apparently in my dream, my daughter was a missionary in Thailand and I was going to visit her. And I took a taxi ride into town so that I could buy something, I guess. I don't know. My taxi left and my purse was in the taxi. So I had no phone. I did not speak the language and I didn't know where my daughter lived. So this was, and I woke up thinking, wow, what a great idea for a story. You know,
it sounds like a nightmare.
Well, but
like my worst fear.
Well, it would be, but think about the tension. I mean,
good
really
point.
Think about the tension that would be in that story. So, I mean, I write stuff down and then I save it for later thinking, you know, if someday if I'm ever stuck, I can go back to my little.
That's a good idea.
So do you have vivid dreams?
I do have vivid dreams when I'm having, but I have them in like torrents. So I either sleep like a rock and remember nothing mm-hmm. or I sleep kind of shallowly and I have dreams. I even have epic dreams that I've even been able to write. I mean, wake up enough to write some of my epic dream, go back to sleep, and continue on.
Oh, my goodness. That has happened to me, too.
That
I've
has
even
happened
dreamed
to many
musicals.
People.
I've dreamed musicals.
Okay. I would love to hear some of those.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, for if you don't, I would say if you don't have vivid dreams, just ask God. Give me some vivid dreams because they're super yeah. fun. It's super fun.
They can be super fun.
Yeah.
Some of them are like you said, tense. I'm one of those weird people. I don't go to suspense movies. I don't even like watching like America's Got Talent where people are up on huge ladders, juggling knives and, you know,
tossing their wife in
the air.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, I don't like tension. I don't like tension. So I try to avoid it, but my dreams, when they happen.
Seriously, I had a dream that I was down in Mexico and I was trying, I needed money. Apparently there's some sort of a thing here about that being in another country, but I was, I had to go and get my mother to wire me some money. And so I went to some place and it must have been a bank, but I was trying to call my mom to say, wire me money. I need money. And she said, oh, as a matter of fact, there's a check here for $10,000 for you. And I'm like, wire me some money. But
Thanks, Mom.
There was more details in that I wrote down. And I thought, well, you know, that actually, maybe that could turn into something someday of, you know, being stuck in another country, getting some, I don't know, an unexpected windfall. That, you know, I know people have written stories about people winning the lottery and how much it's ruined their lives or maybe bettered their lives.
Well, an interesting thing that you're picking up is you're picking up plots. When I write things down, I almost always write the emotion. So in that case, I would probably brainstorm both of those. You're in need in an unfamiliar environment and alone. And so those are the kind of things that I wouldn't necessarily say I'm in a foreign country and this happened specifically, but I would also write down all the emotions I feel. Because when I wake up from a very emotional dream, like I said, I actually can go back to sleep and keep going. And if I don't want to, I try to stay awake as long as possible. So I'll write down, well, that made me feel scared and it made me feel alienated and it made me feel incompetent because I should have, you know, if I was in Mexico, I got A's in Spanish. I should be able to converse. Okay. I can't do that very well. Know where El Baño is, but I'm pretty, you know. So for me, writing down the emotional intensity, then I can transfer that. Even if I don't use the plot, I can transfer those feelings into something I'm writing.
Oh, that's an interesting distinction. Cause yeah, pretty much typically I dream plots. So I had this crazy dream, probably 3-4 months ago where I was being chased by the devil. And, I mean, I was,
and it wasn't me,
absolutely frightened out of my life. Mm. And I ran to my apartment and closed the door. And there he was. He was sitting on my sofa and he was like, you can't get away from me because I'm going to kill you. And I ran out of the apartment and I ran down the hall screaming for help. And he followed me and I turned around and I said, no, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And he was like,
oh, Pentecostal.
Kind of, yeah, yes. And he kind of was like the Wicked Witch that
melted.
Because of the water. But I mean, I woke up with my heart pounding and there was all that emotion, but I woke up going, oh my goodness, I got to write that down because maybe that would be some sort of a weird thing. I don't know. Just,
I think that's kind of interesting the way that you, because your personality is very organized and very methodical and you are super, super organized. And the fact that you dream and you think about plot points,
okay.
Whereas I am your emotional mess of a friend, train wreck of a friend. And I can honestly remember, and I have pages of written down emotions and I can't remember even the plot that drew those emotions to the forefront.
Interesting.
Oh my gosh, we're like a psychological study, you and me as friends.
You know what? future podcast. Something else that I find really helpful is if I read a really interesting article. So I read a really interesting article. It was called The Sex Cult That Preached Empowerment. And it made me really think about sex trafficking. And that's something that I would like to work into my next book because it's so prevalent and we hear so much of it today. And I read the article and I saved the article because I wanted to use it. But our headlines today are just full of ideas for stories. I mean, think about what we see happening in politics. How about the civil unrest that we see? Because in our area here in California, there was a recent there was a recent huge grand jury investigation of a police shooting of an unarmed teenager who they thought was armed. Just plucking stuff from the headlines is a great way to get ideas for either, you know, project, a book, an yeah. article, a devotional, something that you know we're inundated with and how timely it is.
Yes, absolutely. And you can weave element. You don't have to necessarily think a book, for example, about being lost in Thailand. That can be an opening scene. That could be a subplot in a book. Mm-hmm. It can be an element of it. It doesn't necessarily, you can take elements of things that you dream and put them into a larger project or something too. So yeah, that's a fact. I never even thought of that.
Well, yeah. Think about, all of those movies that have involved presidents where you know, the president is missing or the president has to go into hiding or the president is shot. I'm sure that those specific things were something that someone somewhere plucked out of the headlines.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's emotionally, as a Christian, it's very difficult to look at headlines. But if we can take a step back and look at them from maybe a potential literary standpoint, maybe help me to actually read them without openly sobbing, which is pretty much what I do.
Well, and you think about, you want what you write, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, as we've been talking about the fact that there's elements of fiction in nonfiction and there's elements of nonfiction in fiction, how we can take some of those themes and put them into what we're writing. So the theme of, racism, with the tension between the police and this unarmed black young man who was tragically killed, then, you know, how can we weave that kind of thing into our book to make it real, to make it more timely so people can relate?
Yeah.
I mean, these are all just ways that you yourself can brainstorm on your own if you do happen to have trouble coming up with something to write. Realize that there's story all around us.
Like I was saying about how I resonate with emotional things, often I'll look at, when I'm writing fiction, I'll notice that I've got the main emotional journey of the main characters down, but some of the sub characters, I need to kind of deepen them a little bit. And so I'll look in the greater world, I'll listen for things that invoke the emotion that I want in that character or that I want to kind of bring out so that it has some, you know, benefit to the narrative arc. And I'll find in a headline or a story that I'm hearing or internet, something somewhere, I'll find a story that makes me feel the way I want to feel when I read about that character. Mm-hmm. And so I try to incorporate it. And I didn't realize I was even doing that.
And that's a good point, because recently in our headlines, there was so many people, it seems like, have died recently in the river because the rivers are running so high.
Yeah.
And there was a couple whose tow truck went off of the river road and they were tragically drowned. So it's not that, where can I put that in my book? But perhaps one of my characters tragically lost their parents in a similar fashion.
Yeah.
That's something that I can, that will give my character some more depth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know that everything that happened to our characters, and we're specifically talking fiction today, but anything that happened in our character's backstory, even though we never bring that out, but we know in my main character's parents died this way, or maybe the father died, but not the mother, and how that affected my character today.
Yeah.
But it's so that you're not creating your characters in a vacuum. You're actually giving them real life things that have happened.
Well, giving it a nonfiction kind of slant. One of the interesting things in writing this memoir of mine was I was forced to look at somebody who was very negative in my life. And when you're a kid, people are black and white. Mm-hmm. You like them, you don't like them. You feel safe with them, you don't feel safe with them. But in writing about this, because you can't, whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, creative narrative nonfiction, you need to make a character rounded. So yeah. You can't just have a pure evil character because nobody's pure evil, and you can't have just a wonderful, perfect person. You know, Mary Poppins does not, you know, happen in real life. And one of the things that I did is I went back in the time period that I was writing about and was looking at a variety of things that were happening in the world that would impact this person. So I knew some of his personal story. For example, he had been in Vietnam, and I knew some of his family history. He was forced to do a second tour because his mother actually drank away all the money he sent home from his first tour. So when he thought he was done, he had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And that I looked at the world view of him as a soldier. And it was just really, it was fascinating. Not that this person ended up being redeemable, but it rounded him out. So looking at the headlines of the time period I was writing about will give some great insight into the reality of what your characters were being raised in or being impacted by.
It gives a little bit more depth and fabric to who they are.
Yeah.
I recently picked up a book called What If, and it's
What If?
And I have heard a couple of people talk about this. I think James Scott Bell and Jim Rubart also talk about What If. Just thinking, what if I looked out my window today and saw a girl being dragged into a car? Or what if I were to decide to quit my job and drive across the country and, you know, go completely underground? Just any kind of scenario that you can think of, just thinking, well, what if, even if, say, my character, what if my character does this? And think of some specific alternatives to what the track that they're on. But asking the question, I have a comedian friend, and he said that he was thinking, well, what if when you went to the grocery store and it's 10 items and less or less, and you put the 11th item on the cart or on the belt, what if an alarm went off? And so he had written this huge thing about what that would be like. And he said, comedians have to ask the question, what if?
Yeah.
If we use those same techniques in writing, how much deeper it'll make our writing, or give us some ideas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What if my house burned down? You know, what would I do if I was in the Paradise Fires, which were recent here from Northern California, and my house burned down? What if?
I think that's great ways of brainstorming and within your own kind of story, but also looking out in the world to get some richness for your writing and just general ideas about how to maybe look at another project or enrich the one you've got. Those are some great ideas.
Yeah. So it's important to use your creative ability that you've been given, not only just for writing, but also for thinking about what if this, and using dreams and using headlines, anything that is out there to use to enrich our writing. Because that's what it's about.
And we talked about the importance of writing groups and writing partners. That's something that's really important for somebody else to ask in your life. What if your character did this? Because often we feel like we know our characters or we know what their story is. So we're just going to stick with that. And it's wonderful to have somebody else come in and say, what if your character did drive across America? Yeah. What if
they chucked everything and just said, forget it. I'm leaving. I'm skipping town.
So it's a helpful way to deal with your own writing, but a helpful way to speak into somebody else's, especially if they're needing one of these brainstorming groups
where they're stuck.
Yeah. If they're stuck. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jane Daly.
I'm Robin Miller. And this is the Art of Semi-Fiction, where we explore every corner of the written word.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe
and like us.
All right.